TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hey everybody, welcome in to another episode of Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin. This is episode 8 of our season. Nash Barlow of the UVM men's soccer team joins the show this week. Nash, a local product from Burlington, Vermont, tells his story about growing up rooting for the Catamounts, dreaming of playing for them, and now a part of last year's national title-winning squad. Maybe not one of the superstar players on the team by the numbers, but Nash absolutely has made a huge impact on this team and this program and helped elevate it to the heights they're at right now. So it's a great preview with Nash ahead of the matchup on Sunday against, at the time of our recording, either Syracuse or Hofstra. The Catamounts beginning their quests in a hope to repeat as national champions. They're the top overall seed, so we talk about the expectations for the team, their goals, and how they're approaching this NCAA tournament. Really enjoyed this sit-down with Nash, who gives us great insight into the team, into his own role, and how this team really clicks on all cylinders. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did. For now, stick around right after this quick break. Nash Barlow joins the show.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Hey everybody, welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin, he's Nash Barlow, ahead of the men's soccer NCAA tournament, getting started on Sunday. Hey Nash, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks for having me.
Excited to talk about the team and your season.
Yep.
Let's just start with the AmeriCA Championship. You guys have now gone back-to-back. How much fun was that game, and pretty satisfying to accomplish another of your goals, right?
Yeah, a lot of fun. Last year, that was a big emphasis for us to win the conference because it hadn't happened since, I think, 2021. So that was a huge goal for us and kind of like the first step towards the national championship last year. And again, this year we wanted to complete that. It's huge to win. It's also like a stepping stone to the big one that, you know, we all want. So, yeah, it was great. And Brian, again, Brian's a great team. So to win it against them was extra sweet, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go into that game. They're number five in the country. You guys, yep, number two. You've already played them this year. How did you guys approach that one, having already seen them once and knowing that this is a really high-quality squad, but you guys had a job to do?
Yeah, when we play these high-ranked teams, like you said, number five, I think with us, it's like it's a really big positive because for RPI, it counts a lot. And then just it's kind of like reassurance that, you know, we're top of the country, number one seed, and we can still beat the guys right around us. So yeah, that was it's a big plus to play those big teams. So to play them, you know, and I think we were pretty comfortable playing them the first time. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, we knew we could do it. We already beat them and we wanted to beat them again. So that's what we did.
All right, before we get too much into the overall team and this season that's been so unbelievable again, tell people just about your role. How would you describe your role on this team and within this program?
Yeah, so my role right now, I'd say, is like I sub on. I play right back, center mid, sometimes center back, kind of like whatever we need. I know you've called me the catapult closer sometimes. But yeah, I usually come into the game try to just lock down, play great defense, and then hopefully get some stuff going. It kind of depends. I've started a couple of games. I've played 5 minutes in some games. It kind of depends on what the team needs, but I just try to stay ready, watch the game, see how I can impacted if I go in, and then if I get the opportunity, just try to make the most of it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about kind of that. Some games it is a start, some games it is 5 minutes, other games you're jumping in at halftime.
Yeah.
How do you try to approach that when it is so different game to game? You know you're not playing that same role every time out there.
Yeah, I try to stay present just before the game, during the game, the days leading up to the game, just staying in the moment and, you know, not trying to overthink too much, because when you're on the sideline, you know I could go in at any time. I try not to, like, you know, like, what if this happens. I just try to take it moment by moment. So that's kind of a big thing I've been trying to do, and I'm just grateful for whatever I get, you know. Like last year I played a little bit, but like it was mostly subbing in. So this year the fact that I can get some more minutes is really a good thing for me.
When it is the last couple of minutes of the game and you're going in, say, those last 15, 10 minutes and the team's holding a lead, how do you try to get ready and get yourself prepared for minutes when everybody else has kind of been out there for a while and you're coming in fresh?
Yeah. Well, I know the guys that have been out there for a while, they want energy, you know. So I try to go in, be vocal right away. I have some self-talk techniques. Like on the sideline, I'll be telling myself, like, you're going to win the game. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I'll say it out loud. And just try to get in the right mindset of, like, I'm going into this game, and it's my first minute, but it's, say, Nico's 80th minute, you know? And I need to be on the same page as Nico or whoever's playing. So, yeah, just trying to go in as if I've been in the game the whole time at match speed and not really have, like, a warm-up period.
Mm-hmm. What are the things you're paying attention to when you're watching the game, knowing that you're going to be utilized in some role, but what are the things you're paying attention to during, say, the first half of the game?
Yeah, so if I'm playing right back, I look at the winger and his tendencies. Like number 10 was a big personality for us to learn for Bryant, for example. And I watched some clips on him before the game. I talked to Toby, the right back who's starting right now. And so I kind of just try to see what he's doing in the game and then how I can go in there and, you know his tendencies, know how to shut him down. And then if I'm playing center mid, I'll often talk to, like, Niels if he comes out, or a halftime, and just kind of, you know, try to pick up things that he sees in the game and then watch the game, see how much they're pressing you, if they're not pressing you, just stuff like that. So, yeah.
Positionally, where would you say is your natural fit?
I think my best fit is six, so a center defensive midfielder. I like right back a lot. I liked right back when we were inverting a little bit early in the season. That was fun because I can play right back, but then when you have the ball, I come inside and I'm kind of back at home again playing that center mid role. So I'd say center mid's my favorite for sure.
What is it about that spot that just fits your game?
I like having everything around me. I think playing off instinct is my personal favorite, like how to play. And as a right back, you're doing that. You're doing that in any position because, you know, you're in the game, you're in the flow, but at center mid, everything happens so quick, and I think I kind of thrive in the chaos a bit, I'd say.
Had you played right back a lot before this year?
I played a little bit in USL 2, so I played against Vermont Green at right back. Tough game, but I played right back before, but not to this extent throughout,
sure,
you know, throughout the year.
What are the things that are key for you then when you're in that spot of the field? Like you said, paying attention to the other team's wingers, but what are you focused on when you're in that role?
The big thing I'd say is it's different. Like if I feel more comfortable as a right back when I'm coming down and getting the ball, whether instead of like pushing on as almost like a winger, like really close to the touchline. So and that kind of depends on if the team's pressing or not, or if they, you know, if I get the ball, like UNH, I played a lot and the winger wasn't very, like, great defensively, so I could kind of get on it and pick my head up, you know, look for David, early crosses, things like that. But some guys, you get the ball and they're right on you. So, you know, it just depends. But I try to just feel how much space I have on the ball, and I like having more space, obviously.
Yeah, sure. This season overall, could it have gone much better? The team's the only team left without a loss in the country. You're the number one overall seed going into the NCAA tournament. I know there are five ties in there, but
yeah.
Could this season have gone much better for the group?
As of yet, no. It's been perfect. Obviously, we could have maybe made some of those ties wins, but I think those are also important. You know, we've faced adversity. We're not 19-0 or whatever. You know, we've actually had some really tough games, but we've been pretty big on, you know, it's a new season, and I know it's cliche, like playoffs are a new year, but we were talking about it yesterday, and Coach Brad said the number one seed only gives you one thing, and that's one home game guaranteed, you know. So it's great. It's great we're the one seed. It's great we're undefeated. We also have a huge target on our back, and we haven't done the thing that we want to do the most yet, and that's win the national championship.
I know you guys didn't consider yourselves underdogs a year ago. Certainly not, though, now. What is it like to not just inside the locker room feel like we can get this done, but know that everybody in the country believes that this is a team that's a real threat and is going to have a target on your back this year? Has to be a little different than last year, right?
Yeah, it's a little different. Except for the internal point of view, like we've – and Coach Rob is huge on this. Like we know we're – even last year, like all the underdog stuff, you know, we weren't seeded. We said every day we're going to win the national championship. And so I think it's – everything's pretty different from, like, the external point of view. You know, people are seeing us who might not have seen us last year, but I think we're – from our point of view, it's kind of similar, you know. It's And I love that we have a target on our back. I think it's great. Teams come to Virtue, and, you know, if people are feeling anxious or nervous for the game, I say, like, if you're nervous, imagine how they're feeling. They're coming to Virtue. It's snowing. You know, we're a pretty uncomfortable team to play. We're physical. We're loud. We're in your face. So, yeah, I love it.
Tell me about Virtue Field and getting to know that they do have to come here into the snow, into the winter. I know you guys have embraced that, but what is it like having that as your home kind of gauntlet that they have to come to?
I'd say it's the biggest home field advantage in the country. Just seeing the students, how loud they are. You know, they come out here, it's freezing, they might probably have class at 8:30, you know, the next morning, and they're out there cheering for us. I just saw my friend on the way here, and she said that there's, like, all this chalk outside Lafayette, the building that's, like, congratulating our soccer team. You know, I walk through campus. Even when I'm walking into my house downtown, like, people say, hey, like, good luck and congrats. So having the loyal Virtue fans is the best thing.
You obviously are from Burlington.
Yeah.
What was your experience like with Vermont soccer growing up as a kid? What do you remember about the UVM soccer program?
Yeah, well, it was always my goal to play here. So, you know, UVM was the biggest thing for me, my biggest goal. But they weren't – UVM is not what they are now, you know. I remember going to the – I went to the 2015 America East Championship game, and I watched from the stand. Virtue at that time didn't even have – they probably held like 1,000 people. And they brought in more bleachers, and I remember – being there, and they won, and it was, like, the craziest thing ever. Like, UVM won the conference. Like, wow. I have a America East scarf, like, from the game that all the fans got. It was a huge deal, and it's still a big deal, but now it's, like, you know, like, we're looking ahead. So I think it's – UVM's always been at the top of my list, but now it's a whole other UVM, and I love it.
You played for Burlington High School, then went to Worcester Academy. When did you start thinking about playing at UVM as a real possibility? When did that kind of come to, I could actually kind of fulfill this dream?
Yeah, I'd say, so Brad coached me when I was like 13 or 14, and I was good, but I was good in Vermont, you know, it wasn't anything special. And I talked to him about how I could get there, and I guess my biggest thing was, like, playing up age groups and, you know, being uncomfortable or playing. So then I guess I went out of state, which is, like, the biggest, you know, thing to be uncomfortable in. And I'd say that was when I was like, all right, I can actually do this. Because I was playing against guys that were committed to schools, and that's not really a thing in Vermont, you know. So I was playing against guys that were at that level, and then I had to get to that level. And so once I was in that group with those guys out of state, like, my team at NEFC was really good as well, my club team. And those guys were committed to D1 schools. So I'd say when I was, like, 16 or 17 was when I was like, all right, I can actually do this.
You come to Vermont then. At that point, had the expectations kind of changed internally? As Rob's told me for a long time, we're competing for a national title.
Yeah.
I'll say, I kind of would laugh at him a little bit, not to his face, but just, okay, Rob, yeah, this is obviously a goal you have, but I never really truly believed it until the run last year. When did it feel like it started the change for your group that you guys really felt like this is something within our grasp? I'm curious from when you started here at Vermont, how that's even changed over the last few years.
Yeah, when I committed here, Adrian Dubois, I don't know if you met him, but he told me, if you want to win a national championship, you come to the University of Vermont. And I was like, and you're right, I was like, okay, like, that's, you know, that'd be crazy if we won the national championship, you know. And then when I got here, that was always like the words we used. I think we're pretty big on like saying stuff out loud, and maybe that's why, you know, when I'm on the sideline, I say stuff out loud, or I do a lot just throughout my day. Like we're really trying to manifest it and say it out loud. So I guess after like a year of being in that environment, and then my freshman year, we lost in the Sweet 16 to a top four. I think they were fourth, West Virginia at the time. And so I think then, like the playoff run, my freshman year, I was like, okay, I have 4 years here, the fifth year if I want it. Like, I'm like, we're going to be there, you know, like we're going to be competing for this for the next few years. And yeah.
What was your role on last year's group? Because you again, were kind of in that bench role, maybe not even appearing as regularly as you have this year, but from not even a soccer standpoint, how did you feel like you were trying to contribute day-to-day to a team that eventually did have what it takes to get to that kind of top of the summit?
Yeah, so my role last year, like I played in 13 games, and so this year I've played in like seven.
I've got you 16 and two starts this year.
Yeah, so it's better.
Yeah.
But yeah, last year I was coming in late, like you said, but then during the, like you said, I didn't play in a lot of games, so we have this thing called a training group, which is, you know, the guys that don't play over an hour, the next day they play, and so just trying to be the best in that. You know, I'm really, really competitive, so just trying to compete in every drill, like whether it's like a rondo or like a possession drill or a finishing drill, I just want to compete, and I think that if I can compete and like be my best, then I'm going to push Zach Barrett, who's like, you know, captain, obviously going to play, but he's going to want to beat me. So just trying to push guys and just, yeah, I guess lead by example in that sense.
You mentioned the teams show up to Virtue Field or whenever they play. You're an uncomfortable team to play against. Part of that, the noise from the bench. What's that like? Is the guys who are on the bench just trying to make that feeling to the other team? You can almost feel your guys' bench unit out there.
Yeah, the bench is loud. Last year, Toby Grant, who's killing it this year, really happy for him. He didn't play last year, and we do this thing trivia before every meal to see who eats first, and he would take the questions and just yell the whole game at the opponents. Like he would like say the trivia questions, and so like just like random stuff like that, which is they're probably thinking like, what is this guy? What is Toby saying to me? But then like this year just. Guys like Shalom, he's a freshman, like really bubbly character, social guy. He's always yelling. Brady Costin, who I know is going to be a media star for sure. His mic'd up was unreal.
Sure was.
Yeah. So just guys are there, and obviously everyone wants to play. And, you know, on this team, everyone wants to play in front of these fans and for this level of team. But, like, regardless of that, guys are going to support each other because we're honestly a family. Like, I want to play. I want to start, but I also want – whoever's starting to have their best game. So,
How long have you known Carl Daly? He's a guy this year that I know is a part of that bench group. He's been out with an injury.
I've known Carl a while. We played together for Blackwatch, which doesn't even exist anymore. It's now BFC. And then we played against each other in middle school. He was like the other. Like I was on the north side of Burlington. He was on the south side. So I'd hear about, you know, like, oh, like there's this kid, Carl. So I've known him for a while. And then in high school, we got close, obviously, you know, through soccer and just being in the same friend group outside of soccer. But yeah, he's been great for me coming into. I remember before I committed, he was telling me everything I needed. I'd call him up, ask him questions. He'd tell me about UVM, and then this year, really tough injury with Carl. I know he'll come back and kill it, but he's been big on like still contributing. Like in film, he'll ask a lot of questions. You know, he'll help like Peter out or Brady out or some of the center backs. Yeah, and he's just been great, like as a person. Obviously, he can't play right now, but he'll be back.
He's one of those Vermont guys, though. You too, Brad Cole. What is it about representing your state that I know means a lot to you guys who are from here, not even just from Burlington, but from the state of Vermont, and getting to represent on a national stage these days?
Yeah, it means everything, you know. Like I said, growing up, UVM was my goal, and I would wear UVM shirts around, and I would, you know, envision myself playing for UVM, and seeing the UVM players around like far post when I was playing there, like I thought those were like the coolest guys ever. And so being able to do it and seeing like all my whole family in the crowd, like I'm so lucky. I ran into my mom walking to my class last week, and I was like, wow, I'm going to college, I'm playing for the best team in the country, and I'm running into my mom. Like, I love that, you know. That might be weird for some people, like to be so close to home, but I love it because I love where I'm from, and I love seeing some of my high school friends are in the crowd. Like, I was my best friend LJ from high school was in the stands for the last game, and, you know, being able to play out there and then see him after and celebrate, and it's great. I love the support.
I think back to that parade down Church Street a year ago. What was that like for you, getting to do that on Church Street with the national title trophy?
That was my favorite day of being a UVM soccer player so far. Like, that was to look out and see however many 8,000 to 10,000 people was like, wow. You know, we get texts and calls and people say hi to us in the streets and stuff, but just to see it all at one time was like really overwhelming. And that was, yeah, that was, it's my home screen on my phone is like the view from outside, seeing all the crowd. So that was my favorite part.
How much did that inspire this year's team as you guys got back together in the summer and you had new people coming in and obviously lost a big group of that national title winning squad? How much was that the thing that lit the fire to get back to this level?
Yeah, it was big. We talk about, me and Nick Lockerman are really close, and he had a tough year last year with injuries, and he got hurt this year, but he's been such a big part of this, you know, just obviously great player, but also just a great captain. And me and him would talk about like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then imagine another parade. So we talk about the parade, and then everyone has their own kind of personal motive, I guess. Like for me, I wanted to, you know, all right, you subbed in last year. Let's start some games this year. Let's play more, and we go in and lock. You know, like, I want to play more games after this injury. Or just guys all have their little motives and their little stories that like are always going to push towards the team motive and the team story. So I think coming in to this year, like, we weren't satisfied at all just winning it once. You know, we want to make. I know Andrew Miller says like let's cement the legacy and not just make it like a one-year thing, and I think that's a huge thing for a group to follow.
How is maybe this year's team different from a year ago from a soccer standpoint? What do you guys do differently with so many different pieces out there?
Yeah, I think this year we have some really like high talent guys, where I think last year we had, obviously we're talented, we won the national championship, but we had guys that, I don't know, came from less like, I guess, like glamorous backgrounds. Maybe I think this year we have a lot of like maybe academy kids who are like, you know, have played soccer since they were like four at like the highest level, like Omar. You see Omar playing, this kid's unreal, you know. And people like that who I think they'd come to UVM last year, but they might not have like known how good we are. And so I think like I guess putting us on the map has brought in like guys like Nico, who are just, you know, from Germany, who are unreal. Like,
what an animal, right?
Yeah, just like a different type of recruiting class, which I think is good long term for the program.
Tell me about your relationship with Brad Cole. You mentioned that he coached you when you were younger, and now back as the associate head coach with this team.
Yeah, I love Brad. Brad, coaching me from a young age, he was really competitive, and I think that's a lot of coaches who coached like, because he coached at UVM while he coached me, so a lot of guys, you know, they'd probably prioritize UVM, and I know he did, definitely, but like, he'd come to my far post practice and be like livid if we lost to like some Vermont team. And I mean, that's so, just seeing his like drive for the game and his competitiveness definitely helped me become like that. I think we're pretty similar, and yeah, I have he used to write like papers on us and evaluation sheets. I have my U14 one on my like wall at home, like my home room, because I would try to see what he thought of me and then how to, you know, make myself better, because I think his opinion was so valid. So yeah, he's definitely a big role model for me. He still is.
I think he's told me that story before. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's some motivation for you. This team and this program have scored so many late goals to tie games, to go ahead in games. What is it about the belief that even when you're trailing late, that you've got what it takes to still get over the hump?
Yeah, we genuinely just like train it mentally. We always think we're gonna win, and there's definitely like stats on it, but like I just think if I'm on the field, like UNH, I don't know, David scored 1 minute, pretty
85th,
late, 85th, yeah. When I was on the field thinking, all right, we have David, we have Maxie, We have Marcy. We have, like, playmakers that can 100% score, you know? Like, it's – I don't know. I just – we don't – and maybe because we've done it so many times, but we just – I don't think we ever play like we're scared to lose, you know? We have this unbeaten streak going, and it's cool, but, like, at no point are we, like, oh, like we can't lose, you know? It's, like, not like we're going to try to win. So I guess there's no real fear of losing, and I think that just – that helps you play more free and have these last-minute goals.
Take me inside what you saw on the game-tying goal then against UNH, because I think that's a great example recently of kind of that cardiac cats moment.
Yeah.
Just that goal for David to equalize.
Yeah, well, it was coming. We had this one play where a couple minutes before where, like, I think Omar shot it and then shot it again, fell over, Marcy shot it, hit Omar, like, we were close. I know Philip was close a lot of times in the game. And so it was coming, and Ryan, I remember being on the field, and Ryan was like, oh, like, it's not really falling right now. And but me and him were saying, but it's going to fall, you know? So I knew David or Maxie would come up with something. Those guys score goals, man. So yeah, I remember seeing David score and then just emotions, obviously.
What is it about Maxi Kissel, man? The guy's just got something about him.
Yeah, he's always in the right spot. Which is so, like, it's hard to teach, I think. I mean, I'm not a striker, but I guess, like, when we watch film, this guy's always in the right spot. So he's really fast. He can obviously finish well, but his game IQ is, like, the best positioning I've seen. I think he reads the game so well. And he's always there, and it's the hardest thing to do in soccer is score goals, and he does it, and he does it on the biggest stages. So, yeah, class guy. Also, I live with him. Great guy.
You've been in that right-back spot, often in that, like, kind of serving those guys' balls to try to deal with. What are you trying to accomplish when you have that ball on your foot out wide and trying to provide some service?
Yeah, just give him a chance to score, like, put him in the best situation possible. So if I have the ball and I'm, you know, looking at the box and they're dropping really deep, because maybe I've been crossing in the air, they drop really deep, I might be on for a cutback on the ground top of the box to, like, one of our tens or, like, wingers coming inside, or it's early cross, they're not really dropping, and Maxie can get ahead of it and get a little flick, or, and then obviously David, Phillip, like, big team. If our center backs are up there, big team. So anything in the air with a good chance, like, I know those guys are gonna beat their man and score.
What makes Nicholas Hurseg special?
Yeah, he's just a freak. He's so hard to score on every time. There's times in training where, like, and we're like top players. Like, guys are really good at shooting the ball, and, like, guys will be shooting and, like, start laughing because it's like, bro, how are you saving that? But obviously he's like an athletic freak, but then also just he's a really confident, like, well-rounded guy. He's really into his schoolwork as well. And I see him in the library, and he's just, I think that translates just as a person. He's how he is as a keeper. So I think that he's just a great, great guy, great player. Obviously, we're really lucky to have him.
All right, let's just wrap up with circling back to this NCAA tournament run ahead. Kind of that second season, as you described, you guys have accomplished kind of the first two boxes to check: regular season title, AmeriCAEast title. The mentality approaching this weekend then, is it about excitement? Are there any nerves? Just what's the feeling like with the NCAA tournament now on the horizon?
Yeah, really, really excited. That's the biggest thing. And we're excited for either Hofstra or Syracuse, and that's it. You know, we're not looking ahead. We're all going to get together tonight, eat some food, watch the game, and then tomorrow we'll train for whoever we're playing. That's kind of how we're going with it. In the moment, focus on the next game.
Don't go anywhere. Nash Barlow rejoins Catamount Insider right after this.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Time Time for Chat with the Cats with Nash Barlow. We transition to learning a bit about you off the soccer pitch. What are you studying, Nash? What are you majoring in school?
I'm studying nutrition with a concentration in dietetics.
Why? What made you want to study that?
I think it's really cool how we can change our bodies and improve our bodies and our health through food. I think food's like a really cool, I see it as like a tool kind of, and our body's like a project, I guess. So yeah, I went through a time during COVID where I was trying to gain muscle and become more athletic, and I really honed in on my nutrition, and it worked out. So I think I can help other people do that.
But what's your favorite food then? Let's talk food for a minute.
My favorite food, it's not a great nutrition answer. Maybe like cereal. I love cereals. I'm always.
Do you have a favorite cereal?
I like Cocoa Puffs a lot.
Not a great nutrition answer, but that's okay.
Yeah, guys, don't eat Cocoa Puffs all the time. I just had some Cocoa Puffs with Andrew Miller, so I know he's big on the Cocoa Puffs as well. But I'm a big cereal guy.
Pre-game food. What's a food though that then? Because that I know is more nutritional thinking and based. What gets you ready for a game day?
I have chicken and rice. It's bland, but it's, you know, simple carbs, low fat meat. I don't have like veggies or any like fibrous foods. I want like a fast digesting carb with a bit of protein to keep me full. And then before the game, I'll have like a black coffee. Get some caffeine.
Gotcha. Well, I know this is kind of soccer based all of a sudden again for us, but during the season, what are the foods that you're trying to focus on and eat? Because I know you guys are burning so many calories throughout the day with training and practices and workouts. How do you try to maintain fitness through what you're eating then?
Yeah, the biggest thing is eating enough food. I know, so we train from, we have like treatment and rehab and all that stuff at like noon, and then we watch film at 1, and we train from 2 to 4. So you're not really eating from noon to 4, so it's a big window. So eating enough food is big, but I know a lot of the guys, I mean, we're college kids, we're cooking like pastas, rice, potatoes with like chicken, beef, you know, that kind of thing. So a lot of simple foods. I try to stick to like whole foods, you know, if there's a thing with a ton of ingredients, I feel better if I eat just like simple stuff.
Do you have a favorite spot to eat around town? Where do you and the guys like to go grab food if you're not making food at home?
Fo Hong's been in the rotation a lot. Me and Locke had it like last week. I know John Luca had it last night. So yeah, I guess that right now.
When you can take time away from soccer, what kind of gets your brain away from it? What are things you do to try to just kind of step away from that side of your life?
I play guitar, so I like playing guitar. I've been trying to get into chess, so I have some of the boys on the team have been playing chess a lot.
I hear Niels is pretty good, right?
I was going to say Niels thinks he's the best. I've heard CT is also pretty good. I know TJ's on the come up. So
Nico was saying he's playing a little bit more these days.
Yeah, Nico. So all those boys, I've seen them play chess. I want to beat them at chess.
What about chess is fun?
It's just really, really a lot of planning. You know, it's really, you got to see the next move, the next move, the next move. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be good at right away. And I think that's attractive to like try to get better at something.
You spend some time on the bus playing chess. What's a bus ride like for Nash?
Bus ride for Nash, probably just annoy John Luca. He sits next to me, mess with him a bit, and then when he gets too fed up with that, I'm not a big on the bus chess guy. I don't know. I'm not there yet. You know, I'm trying to learn more. So I guess I'll try to take a nap, listen to some music, talk to Locke. But yeah, just to chill.
I know the German guys say they play some card games on the bus. You ever jump in on those games with those guys?
They play like a trivia game on their phones. And I think, I don't know German yet. I think it'd be funny to learn German. I was thinking about this, to learn German and not tell any of them. And then in a year, just like come up with some crazy sentence. But
how often are they speaking German to each other, both on and off the field? Is that common? Is that something that they try to avoid? I'm curious about that. I've had a bunch of them on the podcast recently, but I'm curious your perspective on that group of guys.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. If I was from Germany and I was surrounded by English speakers my whole day, and I had this, if I had some teammates from Germany, I'd probably speak German too. But we try to. On the field, we actually try to say, like, don't speak German as much because You know, if I'm playing and Nico's talking to Locke, I want to know what they're saying because I want to, you know, yeah. So I guess on the field, really, like, not a lot ever. But on the bus, sometimes, yeah. And then Miller would be like, guys, like, English. You know? So, yeah, they speak German a good amount, but it's all right.
Yeah. As far as that stuff goes with you and the team, have you spoken any other language before in your life? Or is that something that you just never really...
Yeah, go ahead. I took German in high school, but I just like how everyone, I don't know, everyone says it when they take, at least in the U.S. in high school, or in high school, you take a language, but like I can't really speak it. I think if I had like a month for fresher, I could unlock German again, but yeah.
I get it. I took Spanish in high school and college, and it just doesn't work in my brain. I can pick up words, but I can't really.
Exactly, yeah.
Favorite music? What do you like to listen to?
I'm pretty all over the place. As I've played more guitar, more like I've been listening to more like guitar-y music, music, I guess, like more acoustic based, like indie rock, some Noah Kahan's in there. Sure. I like Coldplay, like old Coldplay stuff.
Nice.
But then I'm also like into, you know, house before the game, rap, that type of stuff.
Who's the DJ in the locker room pregame?
So pregame, I'd say, for like the like classic UVM men's soccer songs, Carl. Like Carl knows, you know, Carl's been here a while. He knows all the traditions because we have a lot of those. And then before that, I'd say it's like Gianluca, Day to Day, and then Miller. So probably Gianluca, Miller, and then Carl's right there right before the game.
How long have you played guitar?
Like actually playing probably since COVID, so a few years. But I took lessons when I kind of hated it, but then I just quit the lessons and just kind of messed around on YouTube. And
it seems like a common story these days.
Yeah.
All right, Nash, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
This is great to get to know you and hear about the team and your season. Good luck this weekend. Can't wait to be here Sunday for it, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Nash for taking the time to sit down and talk all things UVM soccer. Tell us a bit about his life away from the game as well. Fun to hear him talk about playing guitar and learning that, as well as taking the time to play some chess. And just an interesting kid to get to know, who's got such a great story about growing up rooting for this team, hoping one day he'd play for them, and then I don't think he could ever have dreamed that they would become a national title-winning school and team while he was here. So I really hope you enjoyed that one with Nash. Thanks again to Nash for taking the time to give us his insight and tell his story this week on Catamount Insider. Looking forward to next week's show as well. We'll talk to you next Friday morning, wherever you're finding us on your podcast's feed. Go over and check us out on YouTube as well. Just go to the Vermont Athletics YouTube page. You can find every episode of Catamount Insider over there. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. I'm Brian McLaughlin saying so long. This has been Catamount Insider.